Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yo, welcome to Hardcore Listening with my good colleague over there, Professor Atom Nuts.
Hello.
And my good self, Dr. Feelgood. It's the science crew today.
So, this is one that we've been trying to get arranged for a long, long time.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of hiccups on getting this one over the line. And I'm sure throughout the duration of this podcast, it will become apparent some of the reasons why maybe... Ricky wasn't necessarily available. There you go. I've got a spoiler alert. It's Ricky Hall. I guess he's one of the most famous models.
Yeah. You
know, this side
definitely.
Of the
pond. Most sought after male models internationally, yeah. I'd say. I mentioned to my girlfriend that we're recording it with Ricky, and she was like, "Can you just get me a quick picture of his abs?" I was like, "No, I can't get just a quick picture of his abs."
So Ricky's kindly come down to the Whiffin. He's going to be sitting in the back garden. We're recording this intro ahead of recording it. So he will actually be turning up any minute now. So it's almost like we're doing this in real time.
Oh my God, for the first time.
Ever. So big thanks to 76 for the production of the Hardcore Listening podcasts and the Hardcore Listening Patreon podcast, which are available on www.patreon.com. Hardcore Listing.
Just you're still saying www. I don't think anyone needs to do that anymore.
I like it.
All right. Sure.
Why don't you www fuck off? You can head over to Patreon if you like the Hardcore Listing. There's a load more stuff over there, stuff that's never become available to the masses. It's for Patreons only. I think there's 23 episodes over there, and we put one out each week.
Yeah, and we choose a top five of your choice. If you're a patron, you can subscribe and we'll do that for you.
Absolutely. There's different tiers. If you want to become a real dangerous loner, then you know you can end up coming to the Whiffin and recording with us and such. There's all manner of stuff clearly explained when you go over to that website on a video that we made with Scroob and Gal Porter and Brad and 76. So go and have a watch of it and make you laugh anyway.
Yeah, shout out to our sponsors, Bang Boom Creative and...
Love Beer. So, should we just get on with it?
Yeah. Ricky, over to you, sir.
Bye-bye. It's a drunken soiree in the Whiffin. Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listening, the podcast.
We're recording.
We are. We're in the Whiffin. It's been a while since we've recorded one with a guest in the Whiffin, haven't we?
It has.
We've been out and about on our travels.
It's been as long as your voice went high.
Did it go high then?
It's been a while since Yeah, man, it has been. It has been, because we've been recording, the Hoxton Square and all
that
shit.
Yeah, we've been up there a lot, haven't we?
I prefer here, man. I prefer here. It's much better.
It's the spiritual home, right?
Exactly. That's fucking right.
Well, look, let's stop chatting between me and you, because our guest is here.
Yeah, rude.
It's been a while. We've had some fits and starts to try and get this one, you know, over the line, and we're here and it's happening, so it's great. So, Ricky Hall, how you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me eventually.
Mate.
No, much appreciated. Thanks for travelling to Grays.
Yeah, it was a lovely evening actually, isn't it? The sun was setting. But I was meant to be here a few months ago, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Obviously, I couldn't get that because I was in had a little stint in rehab. So I couldn't do that one, and which I was really pissed off about, because you know I wanted to get on the show for ages, and you know, I'm good friends with Pip, and it just seemed like a nice bit of fun. And I listened to the podcast, and I really wanted to be involved. And obviously, got it all planned out, and yeah, I was a little bit. Bit of a naughty boy.
Bit selfish of you, mate, to put your rehabilitation over our podcast.
Yeah, it's how dare I take myself away again. But yeah.
So can we talk about that, Rick?
Of course we can, Matt. I'd love to. I'm very open about it on my social media, and whoever wants to ask, or, you know, I'm not a professional in the area, you know what I mean? But I've got an addiction. I'm a drug addict and an alcoholic. And, you know, I suppose that... You know, at first terms, I just
that's why you went into rehab for drug and alcohol addiction.
I've actually been into treatment. I've been into treatment twice. The first time was in I'm 31 years old now, and the first time I went in, I was 28 years old, and I've been drinking and taking drugs since I was about 15 years old, and you know it's this cliche story. It starts off a bit of fun, you know. You have a talk a lot of bollocks with your mates, and it's a good time, you know. And it, you know, eventually, over the years, you start getting in a little bit later, and you start spending a little bit more money, and you're not going to sleep. You know, you're awake for that extra day, and slowly but surely, you know, I didn't realise at the time, but I was just falling smack bang into a full on drug and drink addiction. And I didn't know that was you know, because I was just. I didn't see a problem with that. I just thought, you know, I'm from Wolverhampton, and this was before I moved to London, and I just thought, everyone in Wolverhampton drinks, and, you know, they go out on Friday night, they go back Sunday morning, and they probably have a little bit of shit off the missus for coming in late or whatever, but that's what I thought, you know, that's where you take the rough with the smooth kind of thing. And I was going on, and I was a mechanic at the time, but my dad's got a motorbike business in Wolverhampton. I was a mechanic, and, you know, after work every day, we'd go for a few beers, and over the years, a few beers turned, you know, a few more beers, and the drugs got in, the cocaine. He was drinking the drug of choice for mine was cocaine, and slowly but surely there was a few more lines. As I said before, it just progressed. Like the dangerous thing with drugs is it didn't just hit me bang. It slowly crept. It was a creepers.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with me, because I didn't recognise it. I didn't see it. It's not like somebody just flicked a switch and go, "Rick, you got a fucking problem." Because all my mates were doing it with me as well, but they would be able to, they could go home and
shut it off. Yeah.
I'll just have to keep going and keep going until I was physically exhausted.
What was the drive for it? What was you trying to get out of that? Were you always the one that didn't want the party to finish?
Yeah, I felt invincible on it. I felt so charismatic. Yeah, I felt my it was just stroking my ego. You know, and I thought I was the life soul of the party. You know, I'm a confident lad. You know, I can hold my own sober. You know what I mean? It's not about finding confidence at all. It was just, I was fucking superhuman on the gear, and a few beers in, you know, that little rattle in me goes right in a few lines. You know, you're getting a bit slurry here, Rick. You know, you put on the charm now, and that's when the dealer was on the phone, and you know, you're in the cubicles, isn't you, after the night, just being a fucking complete wanker, like. But it's right, you know, you think you're being this, you know, Jack the Lad, but in reality, I always said to my man to go, I would love to have recorded me, like, secretly, like, videoed me when I was fucked, and see what I was chatting, to watch it back when I was sober.
Yeah. See, just that charismatic, like,
To try and get me off the drugs, because I always thought, I was like, guys, can't you just, you know, film it, you know.
Mate, it's horrible.
I've seen little clips and bits and bobs, like, when I've been working, I've been doing shoots and stuff, and I've seen what behind the scenes bit I've been doing, and I'm like, fuck me, man. That's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I just look like an absolute mess.
Did you not have any, like, mates at any point to go, "Rick, sort it out"?
Nah, because they were... My using was very... You know, for the first 3 to 4 years, it was quite social and lovely. Yeah. And I say lovely. Of course, it's not lovely, but it was nice. I had it under control.
Yeah.
And then it started slipping into quite dark, alone using, and very... I would be using with my friends in the pub down there, you know, the local... And then I would get some more gear and take it home to be by myself and just go into myself completely and just. I don't know why. I don't know if it, at this point I don't know if it was to deal with I don't know, because I haven't had a bad childhood. That's the you know what I mean? I can understand, I can almost warrant, you know, if you've had a bad childhood or something's happened that's been, you know, really, really terrible in your life to try and mask that, yeah, I suppose, to try and deal with that a little bit, or to try and just completely run over it. But my childhood was great, so I was, it was a complete shock to me, you know, to why I did actually use. But as I said before, it was just the ego thing, you know. I've always
so is this the pre-modelling?
Yeah.
So that's probably going to be it's going to be a lot more different when all of a sudden you become famous and you've got lots of money through modelling.
Is it easier to hide as well? Because you're not working with your mates being a mechanic, are you? Do you know what I mean? Cocaine chic.
You could cut cheese with them.
Every clad.
But yeah, no. Let's fast forward there. So basically, I got scouted to become one. I was in Topshop. I was in my overalls. A friend of mine invited me down to London. The first time I'd ever been to London outside of going to a school play. Yeah. We watched The Lion King. That was the first time, and I was like 10.
And, sweet.
I know, mate. It was good, mate. I loved it. I've got some henna tattoos. I was rolling in it, mate. Fast forward, so a friend invited me to come down to a party in London. First time I'd been on my own. Just went down in the works van, had my overalls on, went to Topshop to get some like t-shirts for the evening. Come out, got scouted. You know, I had a bit of a different look to what was going on at the time. You know, I had a slip-back mohawk and a kind of Freddie Mercury moustache. And just an arm tattooed. And tattoos, facial hair wasn't really in fashion.
No.
It wasn't in the fashion industry at this point. Mm. So obviously, me looking, you know, a little bit peculiar, just a little bit, I hate that we use the word alternative, but it was just a different look to what was going on in the fashion industry. They, you know, Nev's model agencies were scouting at this point outside, and they liked the look of, I suppose they liked the look of what I had that, and they basically signed me.
What do your mates think of that? Did you go back up north and up to, sorry, Midlands anyway, and say, I've been scouted? Did they laugh at you? Are they like taking it for real?
No, they look. They weren't that. I don't know. They're just like they weren't really that bothered about it. I think they just thought, oh yeah, he'll pop down for a few months, you know, do bits and bobs, and then he'll fucking come back home and tell his legs to go back to being a mechanic, I suppose. And that's what I thought actually, because I was actually really happy being a mechanic. It was a simple. Easy life, you know, you go to work, you get your money, you go home, you see the missus or whatever, you go have a curry and a pint, and that was it. And I was happy doing that. It was so honest and simple and lovely, and that's how the model industry is, isn't it? It's just that it was just straightforward and fucking, you didn't have to worry about, you know what I mean, being in shape all the time blah, blah, blah. And you get away with a lot more as well there, being a mechanic, and social media wasn't a thing back then. Instagram wasn't then, so you really could get away with a lot of shit then. But yeah, you know, I became a model, and this was, as I was becoming a model, my addiction was pretty fucking leery at this point, you know what I mean? I was hiding it really well, but I was just, you know, I was looking okay, but my insides were fucking just dying inside, you know what I mean? I was not, like, emotionally inside, I was not well, but you know, I'd just drink on top of it, take more drugs, and just go with it, and it worked for a while, and then after a while it just started slipping away, you know, and I was missing jobs, I was missing really important interviews and works and stuff. I said some things in the press that wasn't too clever.
So at these points, would your agent or something like that just go, what are you fucking doing? Like, why aren't you turning up at these jobs? And
I would blag myself out of it. I'd be like, you know, they obviously saw something in me that, rather than dropping me, I suppose, you know, I always had a gift of the gab, and I kind of talked my way out of it, and I'd play like the little boohoo card, like I was like, oh, I'm going through a really tough time, I've just had a break, you know what I mean, just absolute bollocks. And I was still holding, you know, I was still doing some good jobs, but I'd just miss the odd one or two every now and again. I was missing loads, mate, but I mean, you shouldn't miss any, you know what I mean? It's that, I've been given an amazing opportunity, and I'm fucking all over it, I'm pissing it all at the wall here. You know, I started to miss a couple more, and then enough became enough, and I had to go to rehab for the first time.
So,
when was your first rehab, mate?
Three years ago, 3 years ago, pretty much to this day, actually.
So, I mean, I don't even know exactly like what rehab is. What is a day to day? Like,
don't do drugs. Yeah. That's the day to day. Don't do.
Yeah, you just like, if you can get through the day without doing drugs, you're doing good at rehab. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? It's like a gold star for you. It was. I quite liked it because I knew I was. This is the problem with rehab. Not a problem, but I could talk about rehab all day because I find them so fucking interesting. And the people in there, yeah. I met the most interesting.
Yeah, but.
Brilliant people in there, and such brilliant minds in there. I mean, some people are just over the top, incredible, but they've just got, you know, these addictions that it's just holding them back. It's a shame, but some addictions do make people that horrible way to say, but it makes me a lot more creative having this addiction because I've got a really addictive personality. I've got ADHD with that as well, but. It's like just scooting off to the rehab for a sec. I'll get back to that in a second. But it's like, you know, I get addicted to things that I love. You know, it's that saying, find what you love and let it kill you. Mm. I'm loving the gym at the moment. So you get all the gear with it, like all the fucking, you know, the good trainers, the good tops, the good everything, all the top of the range stuff. And I just fall straight into it. You know, you start seeing results. I'm like, right, I want to fucking eat better. Yeah. I want to do this. I just slap and get so addicted to it because you see the results and I'm liking what's happening. And I just want to expand on that as much as I possibly can to get the best possible results. It's like that with drugs. It's like, oh, I like that high, but I want to get fucking higher.
Yeah.
So you just keep using. You're just chasing highs at the end of the day. Which you never... It goes back to, will I ever really be happy with anything? As soon as I get what I want, I want to be higher than that. So it's just a massive, like... I don't think those things
can be good for you, and then if you get that addiction with a drug, then it's actually going to ultimately destroy you, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, going back to what day to day in rehab is like, so my mind flutters all over the place.
That's fine,
so
mate.
This is the Ricky world. you have affirmation where you go into this room and you talk about yourself and you talk about how you're feeling and you have like a couple of minutes on each person. There's about 20 people in the room and just going about talking about feelings, which is actually quite nice because you know, you've got grown men. I was never big into emotions when I was young, so I never really sat down with my dad and talked about emotions. It just wasn't a done thing. To speak, you know, in a room of adults, and you know, a lot of them would be males, and to speak and hug each other, and it was actually really quite refreshing and quite nice. So a lot of rehab is talking about your feelings and getting shit out of there. And just before, I would just mask it with the drink of the drugs because I didn't want to deal with something. So if I got, you know, I had a breakup, I'd just I'd have a fucking Jack Daniels and a load of gear and I'd be all right.
Mm.
This is actually, you haven't got that now, so you need to talk about it.
You have to face it.
You're facing your problems and your demons and everything, and you hit that head on, and it's, tell you what, such a fucking weight off your shoulders. All them things that you've been drinking on top of over the years, and you just pour it out. It just flows, and it's really, really, like, it's overwhelming. I love it. I, that's what I liked about rehab is there was no coolness about it. You didn't have to act up. You were just you, and that was the first time I'd actually been myself for God knows how long.
It felt good.
It felt really good, and I actually laughed. You know when you belly laugh and you're actually hurting, and you think you're gonna pass out. You know what I mean? You're gonna die. It was a proper belly laugh. You know, you laugh in the pub with your mates, but it's you know, you have a good time. But this was like proper sober, from the heart, ridiculous laughing, and I loved it. And I got addicted to that and to the people in there. I warm to people really, really. If I get on with somebody, I get kind of addicted to that person. I get addicted to, you know, it's so strange. But
was that laughter sort of like a relief? Do you feel like a relief of pressure? Like, because I went to a psychologist, and I remember sometimes coming out and I'd just get hysterical, like in a good way, like I'd feel happy
because
I'd spoke about something that I'd really kept in, and then I'd be like, oh my God, actually it's all right. This doesn't have to be a problem. And that would make me feel hysterical. I remember like getting on the train and I'd have the giggles. So I don't know. Did you ever feel relief? Did you feel that release of pressure?
I was just happy. I was actually fucking happy for the first time in a long time. And it was just, you know, people deal with happiness in a different way. But obviously with yourself, with giggling.
Yeah. On my own. Yeah. On a train. No, I've just been seeing my psychologist. Bet you have, mate. Bet you have.
Looking out the window on a rainy day, so I giggle. So it's beautiful. No, mate. Yeah, everyone deals with it differently. But I just came out of my shell.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've just been covering every single thing up with drinking drugs, and it was, and you know, I was really cocky, and I had this like chip on my shoulder, which I suppose came with it. I don't know where it came from, because I'm not like that at all. You know, it's been sober now, because I've been sober for, I've been sober now 3 months. So I was in rehab for the second time about 3 months ago, and it's over the years. You know, you just get resentments over stupid shit, and it's just, you're not getting it out there, and you're not dealing with these situations properly, and you know, eventually it just fucking just takes over you. You know, and you become a bit of a prick. Do you know what I mean? Because you've got all these resentments going on, or somebody's pissed you off and you haven't dealt with that properly, or you're just getting pissed off because you're hungover and you're tired and this and this and this. It all adds up, and you just turn into a bit of a spiral.
It's a negative spiral, man, isn't it?
Yeah, there's nothing good that comes out from it. Is the event, you know what I mean? When you get that far into addiction, there's just no good coming from it whatsoever. There's no, even, I couldn't even get creative, because I used to, when I, you know, designing and clothes and stuff, in my, I've got a gym range out, and I used to, you know, it sounds ironic, obviously, with the gym range, trying to be healthy, but I'd have a few beers and a couple of lines, and I'd be like, right, I'm working now, I'd be able to draw some really cool designs. But you get so far away, you're just not functioning right. You're just coming up with the most ridiculous ideas. Clothing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, you see it the next day when you're woken up, you go, what the fuck are you doing? It's ridiculous. It's not even, no one could make this. Do you know what I mean? It's like the best seamstress in the world.
Is that why you keep wanting us to release leather chaps? You've got an addiction problem, Stu, that you haven't told me about.
So what's an average day for Ricky now then?
So what I was missing was structure.
Yeah.
And I wake up at about half 4 or 5 in the morning. It's just I go to bed at 9. I like just I'm loving having this structure. So I go to bed really early. I wake up about 4 or 5, get my little break I want, and then I'm off to the gym. And I see a bit of physio, and then I've either got a shoot or casting or something like that. And it's just I'm a member of NA, so it's Narcotics Anonymous. So there's CA is Cocaine Anonymous, and AA obviously. There's a load of different fellowships, but go to a meeting, see my sponsor, and just, you know, just taking things pretty slow, because I'm a million miles an hour, and it's really hard for me to slow everything down, because, you know, I have to try and fit everything in one day, and it's impossible. You know, when as soon as I got out of rehab for the second time, I the last few days I was just thinking of everything I could possibly do. I loved it in rehab. I felt safe in there. But obviously, on the same time, I couldn't wait to get out and do my own thing and be on my own for a minute, because you always have to be around somebody. Obviously, it's what it is. They did give us a lot of freedom there, but you always had to be in a group of three, and that's the reason, is because obviously on your own, chance of relapsing is quite high. Being with somebody else, you can try and, being an addict, I can manipulate somebody.
Spot them, basically.
And then the third one, if you've got three people with you, it's a little bit harder to relapse, because that one person might be like, guys, it's not a good idea to obviously go to the pub here, is it? So blah, blah, blah. But with two people, it's quite easy to be like, we'll have a little fucking off shandy. It's fucking game over. In my head, I planned weeks and weeks and weeks where I'm going to do this, I'm going to go over here, I'm going to go on holiday, da, da, da. It's just washing machine head. And I got out and I got my sponsor. Do you know Fat Tony? DJ Fat Tony?
Yeah.
So he's my sponsor.
Oh, right.
Did you see him, did you see him every day, or...? You don't see him every day.
No. So I probably see him once a week.
Yeah.
But I speak to him every day, you know, on the phone or texting or whatever. And, you know, you have to do your gratitude list, where it's like, you know, what you're grateful for in the day, you know. So I say my daughter, you know, even just having a sunny day, you know, or there's no traffic on the road. Things like that. And they all add up, and it's all just gives you a nice little positive kick up the arse in the morning. But yeah, that is my life now. It's just taking things slow. For the once in my life, which is actually really nice, and I'm just happy with it, you know, and planning things out. I've actually got a diary now because I don't like to use a diary on my phone. I like to write things down and then cross them out, and I have to amend a lot of stuff, and I just like to have a little diary. It's beautiful. Stickers all over it. I love a sticker, I love a decal, and it's just nice fucking being a proper adult.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Rather than just being this whirlwind of mess, which, you know, it worked for a little while, but there's only so long you can.
Yeah, there is some fun in there, right?
Mate, don't get me wrong, I had some fucking incredible time. Yeah, I'm not saying Drink and Drugs is cool, but I had some fun times on there. Totally. The party is way and truly over for me. I had some good times.
Yeah.
I had some bad times too, but the bad times were overtaken the good times towards it. I mean, it was just really fucked up and dark towards the end. It was not nice.
I feel like I dodged a bullet, really, because I sort of got into it. about 19, and I think I was a mess by 23.
Yeah.
But I think I just about dodged a bullet. But when you said seeing a video of yourself, I'd recorded one at uni, and I saw it around about that time, and yeah, like with me and a few mates, and it just makes my stomach turn. And I've still got it, and it's under my bed in a dusty bag, like in an old school tape, and like I can't go back to it. Because I'm just like, I've seen it, and it's fucking awful.
You know that's there, so you know. Yeah. It's, oh, mate. I mean, it's not the best looking at yourself. That's shivered me. Yeah. I haven't even seen that video. No, I want to know what else is underneath.
Stu's eyes lit up. He's like, he's going to get hold of that. It is tragic, man.
Well, I mean, Rick, it's really nice that you've been that open and you know, we've gone straight in at the deep end here. Do you know what I
mean? I think that's the best. Yeah, I mean, I'm quite... Fuck it, why not? Rather than just trying to like be around a bush and sugarcoat things, I like to just go straight into it.
Sugarcoating is a very good link to what
that's
we're
a tenuous link. That I thought, should I say something now? I thought, no, I'm not gonna, Ricky, but you went for it.
What are you gonna say, mate? Sorry,
you've knocked my train of thought.
Sorry,
now,
mate.
I'm thinking about the top five now, that's it. But no, it's you know, I'm really, really open about my addictions on Oh, actually, you know, this is a funny... Well, it's not funny. It is funny, but people have to... Well, I tell this to people, it's funny, but for me, it's not, but it is a little... Oh, fucking hell, I'll just say. So when I was in rehab, so obviously the drinking the drugs are out of the equation, right? I'm having a nice time. I started working out again. I'm doing the running. I'm getting fit. I'm eating better. And then I realised, you know, I'm incredibly horny at this whole point, right? So it quickly becomes apparent that I've got a sex addiction. You know, I've always been, you know... I've always been a horny fucker all through the month. You know what I mean? It's suddenly dawned on me that I'll go, I've got a fucking problem with sex here.
Yeah.
Constantly on my mind all the time. Yeah. Because when I was drinking, taking drugs, I'll be into that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then the sex would come afterwards when there's no drinking drugs left.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a few kind of things that popped up when I was in... pardon the pun. mentally.
Brilliant.
So, you know, they picked me up on it when I was in treatment, and I was fucking sex addiction, and so I started to go to a group called SLA, which is Sex Love Addiction Anonymous.
Mm.
And the funny thing is, so I went there, never been there before. I was like, well, I'll have a bit of this. So remember, I've quit smoking as soon as the day I got into rehab. So actually, I'll tell you another story in a minute when I get this one out of the way. I've quit smoking on rehab, so I quit drinking, drugs, smoking, everything on the same day, right? So it's all there. And then halfway through rehab, I realised I've got this sex addiction, right? Because everything's out of my system. I'm off the Valium. They give you some meds to calm me the fuck down. So I turned up really fucking messed up. Like I was quite aggressive to the people there. I just didn't want to be there, and I was pissed up, and I was high and blah.
Did you turn yourself in, or was it your friends?
So
you showed up, but also
I
had to go.
Showed up 2 minutes before the cutoff point. It was 1 o'clock.
Right.
With a bottle of wine in my hand. Like fucking swigging it through, slapped it in the middle of it was because it was we had the really nice weather when we was in there. It was in the middle of like July, and slapped a bottle of red wine down there, and I was like, I just shouted, I was like, get me well, you fuckers, and I was just horrible. I was horrible, and yeah. Anyway, so to this story, so I realised I got sex addiction. So it's when I got out of it, when I eventually left rehab, I'm going to take myself to SLAD, which is like Sex Love Addiction Anonymous. So I went there, and I ended up meeting a girl there. I actually got in, not a relationship, but kind of a sexual... It was not the right thing for me to do.
Sure.
And it was not the right thing for me to... To me, that was like a buffet.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what? I interviewed Gail Porter last week, and she had exactly the same. She went to...
Slaw.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she said, basically... Everybody there was just horny as fuck.
Yeah.
And then the minute the meeting finished, then everyone just hook up.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And I mean, let's have it right. If you're a young girl that's addicted to having it off, and then
Ricky Hall fucking shows up,
walks in with a lob on. What do you think? Hang on a minute.
Sorry, I came in with a problem, and then like a top model shows up. Yeah, okay.
But it's tickle me though. But yeah, I just went there. I couldn't tell you what there was on about. I was looking at the women, obviously.
Thinking who's going to cave.
I'm going, who's on the list?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who's going to cave? Yeah. And I was like, I know it was wrong, but I kind of got off on the fact that it's fucking wrong.
I'm looking at,
and you know, I speak up about different stuff, saying I've just been at rehab and I've got this and this. And I'm making really shit jokes, not even funny, and some girls are laughing, and you know, they're trying to have a little flirt on, and I'm like, fucking hell, like, this is not good for me. It's not good for me to be here. So I get out, and you exchange numbers at the end, with, meant to be just men, right? You need to get a sponsor. So with, when you're in NA or AA, whatever, you're meant to just have whatever sex you are, you have the same sex, because people get addicted to each other, don't they? Of course. I mean, it's sex. Same with the, obviously with the sex addiction, you're meant to have whatever. So anyway, all these girls, you know, I was fucking giving my number out all over the place. Just the women, no men at all. He was just the women. I was terrible. I was a right monster. and I just hooked up with one, and it went really. We just kind of had a week of just fucking around, really, and it was quite fun. It was quite fun. And that fizzled out.
Yeah.
And then it kind of come back. It was just, and then it's fucking tiring. Do you know what I mean? It's just constantly, and I can't get it out of my fucking head. And obviously, it was actually quite nice. And we actually bonded, you know, our star signs meet up and everything like that. So obviously, it's meant to be. Do you know what I mean? It's
of course.
But as a Pisces,
both sex addicts.
As a Pisces, I would say that, wouldn't I?
So you've basically quit fags, drugs, booze.
Yeah, but I can't quit the sex right now.
Right.
I thought, well, I've quit all this. I'm like, I can't quit myself from. That's the only high I'm getting now. So I'm like, I can't do that.
If you give it all up, it'll break you, wouldn't it?
This is what I'm trying to tell Tony, my sponsor. And he goes, look, you need to. Because I jump from relationship to relationship. It's not. The sex is a major thing, but it's. I fall into relationships really quick. And I kind of fall in and out of love really quick.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think that's just lust and excitement and just being a little bit of a naughty boy. Do you know what I mean? I've got a lot to learn. I'm learning constantly, and I'm learning a lot from Tony. And. Because everything's, if something's in front of my face, that's it, I'm grabbing it. If I like that, it's like, you know, like a magpie with shiny things, I'm on it.
Yeah.
And that's what I need to calm the fuck down on now. Because I've given up the drink and the drugs, and I'm doing really well with that. I don't want to use today, I'm sober for today. But it's the sex thing that I can't shift at the moment. And eventually, when I probably got a good few more months sober, sobriety from the drink and drugs, then I can address this situation. Because if I do all that, then that's a high risk of me relapsing. Because if everything's taken away that's making me feel good,
Then there's no joy in that, is there, man? Like,
what
the
fuck? I mean, there's only so many times you go to a fucking gym, isn't there?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I like the gym, but I don't like it that fucking much.
Yeah.
Sex is a constant, it's on my head constantly.
Yeah.
And this is what I need to address. And, you know, I've never really talked about these sex things, actually, because I'm always talking about the addiction and the alcohol and the drug addiction on my social media. It's only recently that I've tapped into that I've got a sex addiction. It's sex and love addiction is what it is. It's that.
But what are you literally? I mean, you've obviously been in love. You've had relationships, right?
Yeah, of course.
And like, and so
yeah, proper good. Yeah, not just like a slap and a tickle.
Yeah,
proper fucking 3-4 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And is that what you're looking for? Do you think by
I need to. What it is I as soon as I finish a relationship, whether that's fizzled out on its own or. You know, I've been naughty or something. I mean, I've had a bit of a bad past like that, and it's, you know, and that's what I've got to make amends in my steps. Yeah. You know, to apologise. I've got a lot of amends to do, and you know, I've been a complete and utter prick. But this is what I'm doing steps for to sort all this out and to make amends to a lot of people. But it's I go from relationship to relationship, and I don't have any Ricky time. I don't have time to be single for a few months just to calm the fuck down. You know, let everything settle over. I just jump from. It's like an abandonment issue, and I think I don't know. This is what we're is in the middle of right
you, do
now.
Do you like being like on your? Can you handle it? Because I've got friends who have serial daters. Like if they've been in a relationship, they split up, and within another month they're tied back down. So do you find it okay to sort of have your own time and be on your own?
This is the first time I've been single in a fucking ages, a good years. Because as I said before, I just pinball from relationship to relationship. I've been on my own now.
Yeah.
Since I had to break off a relationship while I was in rehab, because the girl who I was dating in rehab, I'd only been with her for a month prior to rehab, so she only knew me when I was fucked up.
And
we had a great time. And I mean, it got quite weird. The sex was very weird at one point. I mean, it was all hotels and dirty dark alleys and fucking the dirty underbelly and stuff. And I enjoyed that. That's what I was getting off on. But when I become sober, I realised, that's not...
it's not what I mean, obviously, you know what I mean? I said to a guy, look, this is not fair on you, it's not fair on me, I need to focus on my recovery.
Yeah.
And you don't actually fucking know who I am now, really. So I've now with the drinking, the drugs are gone.
Mm.
She liked that real fucked up naughty lad.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
The excitement.
And that's
danger.
All I was there. I was not, you know, I'm a fucking caring guy when I want to be.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, I'm not a bad guy. It's just that she didn't know that. She just wanted that fucking excitement. That just fucking around all the time. And I was like, this isn't me. This is fucking tiring. This is, you don't know me. It's not fair on you to fucking not know the fucking dating, really. So let's fucking give it its day. And so this is the first time for a long time that I've actually been single for a couple of months. And it's nice.
So if you wake up in the morning, like, do you live on your own?
Yeah.
So when you wake up in the morning, like, what's the sort of first thing you think about? Like, do you, you know, is it...
I look at my phone to see what girls have messaged me in there to see what... I've actually recently had to change my number because I hadn't changed my number for 15 years. 15 years is a lot of people to meet high and drunk and giving a number out to. Obviously, you know, because I go to bed at 9 o'clock now, so I'm asleep at 9 o'clock. That's prime time from 9 till
booty
3
calls.
In the morning.
Yeah.
That's prime time for people to go, I wonder what Rick's up to.
Yeah.
I'm asleep. I'm with my cat, I'm having a great time.
I'm
having a lovely time. Then I wake up in the morning, I'm like,
Let's have a look.
Let's have a little fucking, let's have a gander, see what's going on. Like, oh, fucking just, half the people, I can't remember who they are. But I mean, other people, I'm like, I fucking haven't spoken to her for a while. I'm like, I'll wait till she wakes up and have a little fancy little coffee or something like that. And then that's it, that's my mind.
Yeah.
Gone then.
Do you know when this people quit smoking, they end up like putting on weight? Like I did when I quit, but not. Do you reckon that because now you sort of like got rid of those other things, this thing is. Has your sex drive gone up? Because because they say when you get fitter as well, like that will increase testosterone, so your sex drive will go up. And if you haven't got things like drink and drugs that can. I used to think that they would aid my sexual performance when they really didn't. They might make me think I'm like this horny, this randy bastard, but, you know...
It's just a sloppy mess,
It's just sloppy, pathetic sex, really. And, like, so now you're sort of, like, firing on all cylinders. You might be, like...
Sloppy, pathetic sex. You sound like just my ex-girlfriend, you do, pal.
Yeah, like maybe your sex drive and that has all been switched on since you sort of like you turned off the drugs and drink, basically.
Yeah, sorry, man. I'm laughing at the wrong time now. But yeah, because that's you know, because I'm doing my steps and I've got that under control right now. The drinking the drugs.
Sorry, thinking what I just said.
Serious issue. This is. But yeah, it's obviously heightened it now. Like, all my senses are back. And now, you know, I'm going to the gym, so I'm looking a bit better. So I'm feeling a bit sexier.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck it, I'm putting it into practice now.
Yeah.
Like, I can really fucking go for it. Like, really hurt someone. But it's that again is about ego. I'm like, oh, but I'm looking a bit better now. I bet she, do you know what I mean? It's just about getting into her head and trying to impress her.
Mm.
And really is exhausting. I'm exhausted talking about it. You know, because the amount of times that I think of sex and the flirting and so I'm not being horrible flirting. I'm not being like what's the word, like a cheesy kind of slimy guy. I just like a little flirt. No, it's just nice conversation with girls and stuff throughout the day and a little flirt here at the coffee shop and a little. No, just even just a little smile or just a little compliment.
Yeah.
I'm like, I like that. You know, it's nice to make.
Yeah.
I'm not like jumping on them.
No.
Do you know what I mean? We got a problem there. But it's always in the back of my head. It's never switched off. I can't switch that off. And I need to address it. I need to address that because I'm not going to get... It's going to get worse. Because as Tony said, he had a very similar thing. I'm not obviously going to talk about what bits and bobs for him because, you know, he's not here. But he said, he goes, look, Rick, it's going to just get worse and worse and worse. It's going to gradually get worse, like the drink and the drugs thing. Without you knowing, before you know, Rick, you're going to be fucking...
Yeah.
You know, really weird, fucked up shit that you're slowly going to get into, and you won't. It's going to get that far that you're not going to get fuck all done, and you're going to lose everything like you would do with like I did with the drinking the drugs. I lost fucking everything. I lost all my money. I lost my house. I lost, you know, a lot of my family, and my daughter couldn't see me for a while, and it just feels like I need to address this really fucking hard because it's you know, as silly as it sounds, it's a fucking issue for me.
Yeah.
Sex has always been there for me, but now that the drinking the drugs kind of numbed it,
Yeah.
I don't know if I was subconsciously self-medicating myself and just in a way just to curb it. Because when I was doing coke, I wasn't horny. Where some people get really horny when they're fucking high. I didn't. As soon as that one line had gone, like there was no more gear left, my horny bosh, it was on. The phone's on there. I was bringing people to come round to have a good time or whatever. And usually but I'll get a girl to come round and she'd bring gear as well. So we just kept, it was fucking ridiculous. But
that can only last so long, right?
Oh God, you just burn out. You just physically, as I said before, I had to physically, emotionally, and mentally break myself to, just completely break myself to build myself back up. But this sex thing is something that I need to get into control.
Well, one thing at a time, and the fact that you're aware of it as well, mate, is
and talking like, about it.
The start of it.
This
man.
Is it, but you know, as I said before we started recording that I struggle with meetings because it's hard for me to concentrate. You know, it's great talking about yourself, but when somebody else is talking, it's because I just don't know. Oh, I'm looking at girls in there.
Yeah.
This is it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'm not, I don't mean to. I just end up just drifting off to, you know what I mean?
It must be such a problem. I'm surprised that when they do, that they don't do it so that you do it with people who you're not attracted to. Like, they're saying your sponsor
doesn't.
They
can't put, like, a person on the door, can they? Saying, well, you're laddie, but you're not.
No, but you could advertise it, couldn't you? You could say, this is Sla, this is the one for hetero, this is for hetero males, and this one's for... I don't know, because then you'd probably have quite a few different meetings.
Well, I'll just hang around. I'll be hanging around, which is, you know what I mean? It's like, just I'll find out which the sexy meeting is. I'll go to that. We'll go to that one, boys.
Well, got a night out. I think this is how long are we going for?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Literally 45 minutes. That's unbelievable.
And we've not even mentioned your top five.
Yeah, we need to crack on to that. I was a little bit. I've had to raise a few questions with myself with the top five because a few months ago when I was meant to come in originally, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, I've always wanted to do this top five. But I was on the way down here and I was like, fucking, I was like, you know, all the top five. I had to ring a mate of mine as well. I was like, well, I asked her, go, look, do you reckon these top fives, you know, do you reckon it sounds good enough, whatever, and she was banging through. But yeah, it's quite happy with this top five.
What is it, mate? Tell us what the top five is.
The top five is the cinema pick and mix.
Oh, it's fucking... We were really happy, because, like, we like the ones where people pick, like, their movies or favourite top five post-pop 80s punk songs, but something like cinema pick and mix.
Yeah,
everyone's got an opinion on that, right?
See,
you certainly have, Stu, looking at the size of you.
I can't get any more excited than when, if we go to cinema, like, me and my wife like very different films, and she'll go, right, do you want to go watch the Mission Impossible film? And I think, oh, I could think of nothing worse.
Why is she calling me up for that?
And I just think, I do not want to go and watch Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
But I think to myself, fucking pick a mix. And like, and I just think
I'm to be the one with the problems here, lads. You know,
right? Yeah, I'll tell you what, mate.
You think you're fucked up. You ready? Ready?
Make me feel a lot better as myself, dude, in all fairness, pal. I'm glad I came here today and go home fucking. Go home happy.
So, I mean, you're in pretty fucking decent nick, right? I think that's safe to say.
I'm in good shape. I'm trying hard and I eat well, but I'm allowed a treat.
Yeah.
Obviously, because I give up the drink, I used to get a lot of sugar from the drink. So I'm knocking that on the head.
Yeah.
I'm fucking craving sugar. Fuck, man, it's hard. I'm waking up at 2-3 in the morning just before, you know, and I'm like, it's like a drug. It is a drug. Yeah, sugar is a drug.
Yeah, no, it's a fucking naughty one.
Mm. And I can't get back to sleep. I'm up and I've been known to eat sugar cubes before. Like, literally just shrank it because I need sugar that much. I'm not even opening my eyes. I'm literally eating sweets with my eyes closed, like in bed. To me, it's I have that much of addiction to when I wake up, my body's just screaming for it. And it'll get better over time, and it's just teaching yourself a little bit and just being a bit strict to myself. But
you've got to break that behaviour.
Yeah, but I can't walk past a pick and mix. You know what I mean? Do you remember Woolworths?
Oh, mate. It was the fucking insane, mecca of pick and mix, mate. That was like, do you know what? If someone ever said to me, where would you go if you could have an all-inclusive holiday? I would go, 1987 Woolworths, mate. I would have been in there.
Like,
I ain't fucking around. Like, it would have been incredible. It had a record fucking section in it. Yeah. So you could go and like, get all your records from it. Yeah. And it was like a fucking island of pick-a-mix. It wasn't even like in the cinema, like a little wall. No, it was like, you could literally, it'd take you 15 minutes to walk round it. It was that big. You'd need an A to Z of pick-a-mix.
How overweight were you as a child? That's the question.
But that had me in a wheelbarrow just pushing me around it. I was like...
giving you diabetes shots halfway round. It was though. Woolworths was the
mate. Well, let me tell you something, right, about Woolworths, right? So I used to manage the DJ career of one of the in-betweeners. And when Woolworths closed, maybe 8 years ago.
Was it 8 years
ago? Might be something like that, but I reckon it's probably about 8 years ago. They went online. And they asked Buckley to do the voiceover for their new advert about Woolworths.com or whatever. Yeah. And written into the agreement was obviously a nice payout and unlimited pick and mix delivered to your front door for the rest of your life.
Is that legit in the contract?
That's legit.
That's crazy, man.
Just did that alone.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have waived the fee.
You wouldn't survive 3 months, mate.
I'd want them to say that first rather than the money. Do you know what I mean? I'd want that to be the opener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pick and mix to be the opener of the contract.
Yeah.
And
that,
then you know, fizzles out to the fucking shitty money.
Yeah. It's a clincher, isn't it?
Jesus. What's a no brainer, isn't it?
Yeah. Was that your introduction to the world of pick and mix, Woolworths?
We'll go with that. Yeah. Let's
you don't want to disappoint Stu.
Yeah, I mean, like. Yeah, because when I was a kid, we used to go around there. But I suppose like you could get away with thieving a bit more back then.
Oh, that was rife, wasn't it?
That to weigh me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The end of the scales, isn't it? All fucking sugar on my mouth. But that's when I first got my little taste for it. Yeah, there was that, and then the cinemas got involved. You know what I mean?
It's lumpy, isn't it? Though the cinema, fucking. You...
I don't know. It depends where you go. Back in the Wolverhampton ones, there was a few, you know, dog holes, like, but yeah.
Are you a big cinema goer?
You know what? I'm big into horrors. I just actually saw The Nun yesterday, actually. Really,
what's that like?
You know what? I liked it.
Oh, good.
What was that film a good few months ago and you got voted the scariest film of the year?
Hereditary.
I saw that. And it started off all good, but it just... got a little bit silly for me towards the end, but I enjoy being really fucking scared.
Yeah.
So I can't go on my, you know, I don't mind going to cinema on my own, but just to watch a scary film, I can't. I need a girl to hang on to.
Which, as a
macho man.
Yeah.
It's not the best one. But
do you immerse yourself in that?
I'm not a macho at all.
Do you immerse yourself in it? Are you like, are you a screamer in the cinema and all of that?
Oh God, yeah. I'm like. Like in the ghetto in America kind of scream. Do you know what I mean? Like, fuck, I'm off. But it's the only horrors that can hold my attention. Because I'm physically being scared and like I'm watching it through my fingers. my chocolate fingers.
Yep.
I just enjoy it because I can actually lose myself and it warps my mind a little bit. Like obviously I just like to be scared. I like to, because I know that's, I don't have to think of any. I can't think of anything else. No. Just literally, it's me and that screen. In. Yeah,
I didn't get it as a kid. I didn't get it. I really didn't. And then one day, horror clicked with me, and I was just like, "Oh my god!" Because
half the time, I was ridiculous, isn't it? But you get every now and again, you get like, a fucking proper diamond in the rough.
You do. It is that. Mate. You do have to sift through. You have to watch three shit horror films to get at least
it's
one.
It's the characteristics of the like the characters in it. It's just the way that it's body movement for me that really grabs me. Like the twistedness and the
was it the ring where it comes off the bed and on the floor that it's that unorthodox movement the one thing
contorting
like that makes me
it's just feel, like,
I don't that like that like
human
when like people bend the wrong way
kind of fucked up insect-y. I like it
nasty
so
stuff.
Have you got a 5-1 have you got like
Well, this, you know, I was going through them earlier and it raised more questions than it answered this because I started flirting with the savoury bits.
Right, because you messaged me about this and I was thinking, right, he's opening this right up.
You know what? Credit where credit due, I've thought about it. I've thought about this for the last 3 months. Mm-hmm. Rehab was all I could think about with this. Like, fuck, pick and mix. Do you mean? So that was a good 10 grand gone to waste. But I had to literally ring a friend earlier. I'm like, well, what do you reckon? Do you reckon I should slip this in?
You can get all your honourable mentions in for savoury, mate. Do it.
Yeah.
Right, number five. Right, I'm going to go straight in there. Right. Mate. So number five, the white chocolate discs with the hundreds and thousands on.
Yep.
Jazzies,
yep.
I believe they're called.
Yes, Jazzles.
Oh well. Or Jazzies. Because of that name alone, I'll bump that to number three.
Oh, right,
because that's a rascal name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, but then that's left number five open, where I thought I would shift the nachos and cheese in there with the jalapenos.
Yeah.
Because that's not pick and mix, I understand, but then I've dipped over to the savoury section, and I don't know if that's legal or not.
Yeah.
You could do it.
You
can
do it short,
mate.
Short, mate.
We've gone to
five cinema snacks, but then I don't take it away from people who are like, fuck, I was really wanting to eat the five sweets in the moon.
No, this is for absolutely
cinema eats.
We can go there.
Right, five nachos, cheese, jalapenos.
Yeah. No, I think it's a great shout.
I want to discuss this, right?
All right. I do as well.
I don't go savoury at the cinema.
No, I've got some really cool stories with it. Well, I think it's hilarious.
Go on, go for it.
No, well, it's not hilarious actually, it's actually pretty fucking stupid, but the Jazzles.
Yeah.
I thought it was Jazzies.
Jazzies.
I'm sorry.
Can you Google this, please? I'm a salty popcorn guy, right? So this is going to like ping straight down the middle for people. Salty popcorn guy.
Jazzies,
and I pour the Jazzies into the popcorn along with peanut M&Ms. So you get that salt and sweet flavour. It's like salted caramel, basically.
Yeah.
It's the same with McDonald's. I dip my chips in the vanilla milkshake. Mate, it's fucking banging. I had my daughter on this yesterday. Obviously, it's great to teach my daughter this.
Yesterday, four McFlurries. I just had the McFlurry, the kids and the missus, small fries with it, and they just dip the fries in the McFlurry.
Yeah. I get excited. We're going to do it on the fucking way home. I'm getting fucking off.
On the A13.
Getting chubby here, lads. So I'm going to go for number five, nachos and cheese, jalapenos.
So with that...
Oh, yeah, what do you want
to... So with that, I'm not down with that kind of... cheese they put on nachos in places like that.
No, well then you're an idiot.
Mate. I'm on a mission to find anybody out there knows where to get that from. I mean it's so fucking bad for you. I mean it's not good.
Yeah. But
it's that it's the colour, it's the texture, it's the consistent
neon yellow.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm glowing. I'm not like the Simpsons sitting in the fucking cinema.
Oh, yeah.
But I go to Borough Market every Saturday. Now that I'm fucking sober and I'm awake at a normal fucking time, I go to Borough Market every fucking Saturday. Yeah. So I don't know whether there's a swear word. You know? I go to Borough Market every Saturday. And I get a nice, you know, go for the cheese, have a little dibble dabble in. Yeah. I love it. I love that whole process.
But then why are you being a skank and eating that shit on your nachos?
Because you can eat steak every day.
I'm having a fucking cheese board.
You can eat steak every day, but you're going to want to nip out for a burger every once in a while. Hold on.
There you go.
Oh, gone for straws. Plastic straws. Yeah,
don't, that's it. my youngest has just come in. We're in a Redshift t-shirt, so props to that.
Props, like it. Yeah.
But,
I'm in this new one. I didn't have a work one, but
right.
I'll get me one of them, aren't I?
Yeah, mate, yeah. Our pleasure.
It's like a t-shirt dress.
Yeah, it is popular, isn't it?
So, on this cheese front, right, I used to love it when it was that neon top, like that radioactive stuff.
Still is.
But in my local, right, I love this
which
cinema.
Which is where?
Well, the Basildon one is, what is that now? Is that View?
Yeah.
I can't find it.
No, Odeon.
Yeah, they're all
rounders as a cinema chain. They're pretty
yeah,
all right.
Exactly. It's good, but they put this, they now do the cheeses like spicy in itself. I like hot food, as it's been well established, but this cheese isn't the same as the classic yellow cheese in the yellow pot.
They've added something extra, the spiciness into the cheese. Yeah, the Mexican cheese, I think,
yeah.
I believe it's called.
Yeah.
Yes, and yeah, it's they fucked around with that now, and there's... No, I'd leave that
It
alone.
Didn't need fixing, Ricky.
No,
and,
no,
and I keep telling them that at the cinema, and they're like, "All right, Chris, you keep telling us
mate,
this."
I just work on the fucking popcorn desk, mate. I don't have not in HR, lads.
Just, you know, I don't know what
slamming the geezer's head against the counter.
You stop coming in on an idle Tuesday afternoon, please. Tell him this. Slamming his fucking head into the sorting, and then the fucking sugar popcorn, you prick.
No, your cheese, for fuck's sake.
Can I just tell my only other nacho cheese story? My mate, this is going back like, you know, so I was like 20. I bought a whole box, like a big, fat, big nachos and cheese, right? And the film had barely started. My mate Greg, who's uniquely the most clumsy fucker any of us will ever meet, he was like, give me some. Cool, man, no worries. Passed them to him. He had a few. And then literally, he held it over my lap and then just let go of it. Two pots of cheese. Like, it was full.
Two pots of cheese and third degree burns.
I was like, what are you doing? He's like, thought you had hold of it. I was like, oh, you bastard, man. So yeah, but nachos with cheese.
Now mounted your windbreaker to yourself. Yeah.
That was that shell suit. That
fucking pony fucking old shell suit gone up in flames here.
But I can trace it back to where my love of pick and mix in the cinema comes from, right?
Mm.
And my mate's dad took me and my mate to the cinema. I reckon I was probably about 8.
Yeah.
Right, and at the time, obviously I'm old, and you used to get like other like
black and whites, wouldn't it? And
sound. Right. But the sweets you'd get would be like fruit pastels or fruit gums, but they'd be in a box,
right?
Like the same similar size box to when you get the little boxes of cereal, sort of like that. Yeah. And you can only get them in cinemas, right? And I don't know if he was just being gannets, but I remember his dad just saying. See who can make them last the longest. And being a competitive prick, I was like, I'm going to win this. So I didn't eat any of them. Right? And then the film finished, and he went, how many you got left, Simon? And so Simon went, 2. And I had literally, I think I'd had one, and I put the lid back on the box, and he'd gone, how many you got? And I shook the box to show him. And they just went everywhere, all over the floor. So I denied myself the luxury of eating my fruit pastels, and then they're all over the floor.
Mate.
And so
there's a lesson there. What's the lesson there?
Is. Cherish your fucking prick a bit. Prick a bit. Pick a bit.
You're fucking gannet, yeah. I love that. Oh, fuck.
And you wouldn't go for 10-second rule on a cinema floor, would you?
No.
They wouldn't bounce, would they? They'd just stick.
Yeah.
Like, gravity doesn't exist for 2 seconds.
I'd like to see one of them, like, things when they turn the lights off and do the UV lamp on, like, cinema floors and seats.
I like to do in some of the beds in the hotels.
Yeah.
Probably the hotels I was staying in. Anyway. Jesus. Fucking lifesavers all over the world. but no. Yeah, it's, I mean, obviously some naughty stuff goes on in the cinemas, isn't it, in the back row?
I'm sure.
Apparently, yeah.
Apparently. Right, so number 5 was nachos. So,
yeah.
Rick, what's number 4?
I'm gonna go for the sour cherries.
Oh,
it's a good choice.
So,
I mean, there's not really much to say about that. I mean, I'm just putting that in there. There's no. I don't want a conversation about that because it's just there. It's a nice little filler.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Between the fizzy cola bottle.
Are you talking about the fizzy cherry, or because you've got the cherries that are just the jelly
the
ones,
the sugar coated, sour ones?
Yeah. It gives you a sort of face.
Yeah, and they've got a bit of chew to them as well.
I hope it does give it.
There's a bit of work involved in eating them. You could lose a filling with them.
I actually lost the fit. I did actually crack a tooth at the cinema when I was on a date when I was about 18.
No.
And I still haven't got it repaired. I'm scared of the dentist, actually, that's why. But yeah, I split a tooth open on a kernel. Popcorn kernel.
No.
Yeah, it's still there, yeah.
The popcorn gun.
Yeah. I love the fact.
Haven't brushed my teeth since 99.
You've been eating using that as a tooth.
That's true. I love the fact that Gazer is scared of the fucking dentist, wakes up in the middle of the night, don't open his eyes and eat sugar cubes. You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like a horse.
High risk.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so 5 nachos cheese, 4 sour cherries with the sweetened...
The sour.
Sour, mate, yeah.
Number 3, obviously, is the Jazzles.
Yep.
Jazzles is a good choice because what's your stance, right? I was thinking about this. What is your stance on pick and mix chocolate?
Right, well, it's Mocklet, isn't it? Because it's not Cadbury's. It's pony chocolate, but it serves its purpose, doesn't it? Do you know
Ricky's
what I mean?
Ricky's thinking, it's like, fucking hell.
Because if you get the chocolate raisin that's Mocklet coated, you think, do you know what? That's fucking rubbish, but I'm not going to stop eating it.
That's that is acceptable, but when you...
I think if you had Mocklet, if you had a Cadbury's Dairy Button and Pick a Mix, like the sweeter sweets, it wouldn't fucking work.
No.
I think you've got to have chocolate.
Because that chocolate button would outclass everything.
Yeah, yeah. It'd
dictate
the bag. It'd dictate the bag. It really would.
It would... the chocolate... That stumped me a little bit. But they wouldn't have that chocolate next to the... Do you know what I mean? They'd have it way over, like top right hand corner.
Yeah.
The Dairy Milk chocolate buttons.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
And then you couldn't have them near the shitty chocolate raisins, but because you'd have so much sweets in between, you forget about them one. You'd have them in your bag.
Yeah.
Then by the time you got over to here, like 5 minutes later, you'd be like, oh fucking, nice bit of raisin and chocolate.
Because the thing is, if you have a Milky Bar button.
Yeah.
That's fucking incredible.
Milky Bar button, what's that?
Yeah. No, just a white chocolate button.
Oh, I thought you meant Milky Way.
No, you get the little Milky Way stars, didn't you?
Yeah, I like them.
But
the Caramax.
Oh, mate, Caramac buttons, I see them the other day.
No way.
Yeah.
Red and yellow. Oh, I love the packaging, reminds me. I just love that. Nostalgia all over.
You sure a fan of Caramac?
I was, but the thing was, I was too much of a fan. Caramac, when I ended up OD'ing on it, there's a few chocolate bars where I've gone beyond.
If you were
and now I look at it and I'm like, what do you remember? And I'm like, I'll go near it, man.
I reckon if you'd done 2 bars of Caramac, you'd throw up. It's an intense fucking hit of chocolate, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I always think chocolate pick-a-mix, Mocklet, as you call it, it's chalky, it's shit. I'm not in for it.
Do you remember what happened to white dog poos? Do you mean that
when it's a pick-a-mix?
Those just reminded me like that white dog.
I was just going to think, fuck me, I wouldn't normally go to Woolworths in his place.
But
fucking
hell. White dog poo that you always used to see.
Well, do you know the story behind that?
It's something because I used to see it all the time when I was a kid.
Yeah, it was everywhere.
Not the chocolate raisins, the white dog poo.
Yeah,
right. No, because isn't there something like bones? I don't know.
It's the ingredients in the dog food changed. And then.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was just because people weren't clearing up shit. Because
they just baked in the sun.
Well, yeah. I thought it just went white.
Nah, no, it's not easy. No. It's something to do with the food that they eat now.
Because remember, you see it all the time.
Yeah.
All the time when I was a kid.
I love the fact we're getting nostalgic for shit.
Yeah. Can't miss that. When shit was white, it was almost all black.
It was almost like an FH drain, like a three-hit drain,
And it was one of them ones that if you was walking home and you accidentally kicked it, if it was white dog shit, it was all right.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't have to get the lolly stick out in the crevice of your shoes. It was like...
Weeds, wasn't it?
Yeah. Right, number 2, Rick.
I'm going to go for the... I don't know what this is called, but you got something in your beard, pal.
Oh, is it?
No, it's literally a piece of paper.
It's
even
a
know
bit
what
of paper, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Is that sexual tension? Is that what you're doing there?
It is, mate, basically.
Number two, I'm going to go for the strawberry lace with the white fondant in the middle.
Oh.
Red strawberry, the red, obviously the strawberry, red one.
Getcha.
Or equally the green, but the doo-doo blue now.
Yeah.
Number 2, well, this is where the question, right, okay, where do we stand on ice blasts?
Is that the drinks?
Never, Tango never, ones, never
because
had
they
one.
Are edible, but they also is a drink. I wasn't too sure about that. Whether to bring that in or is that fucking completely cool?
No, you can. It's your top 5.
My kids, my
shit
kids
that
go
you
for
go
them.
And have
because
it
I got the red and the because the red one and the blue one. I put them both together. Purple.
Yeah. Did you do that with slush puppies when you were a kid?
Yeah, at the ice rink.
Yeah.
And they're really shitty burgers. Wimpy. I love a Wimpy.
Yeah.
On a plate.
Burgers. That was wrong
burgers,
for me to say that.
Burgers on a plate.
Wimpy. Yeah. Do you remember in Stoke, right, there's a place called Waterworld, and it was the only place acceptable to eat chips and a burger in your swim.
There's a place called the Dolphin in Romford, and you used to have swim and burger parties.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, when I was a kid, you used to go there. That was the first place in Essex that had a wave machine. Fucking blew my mind. Imagine that. I was a fat kid, so I'd have a wave machine and I'd sit on the side of the water when they turned it off and have chips and a burger.
That's fucking
what
sweet.
Do you want from life?
Yeah, living the fucking dream, though.
It is a novelty, isn't it, when you eat like chips and a burger in your swim shorts?
That's quite. Yeah, I mean, you eat raisin hands. Yeah. Like, fucking
holiday indoors.
I didn't know that. You know, obviously, when you're submersed in water.
Yeah.
You know, when your uncle has taken his hand off your neck. When you're submersed in water, obviously your fingers go pruny. I didn't not realise that's your body adapting to get more grip underwater.
Mate, I was saying this to my missus last night. Yeah. We were in the bath, sexy time. And she was like, your fingers are gone.
You stop fucking looking at your fingers. And,
yeah. And I was like, no, it's time for science chat. And she didn't know that. She was like, nah. I was like, yeah, it improves grip, doesn't it?
I did not know that.
Yeah,
there you go. So it goes wrinkly to...
Help your grip.
Listeners, you now know about that and why white dog shit doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Them strawberry laces or tubes or whatever, the ones with the white fondant in the middle, that'd be my number one, Rick.
Really? I'm a hard pass on that shit. You wouldn't have to... If you had your pick a mix bag...
The red one,
Yeah.
We'd work all right at the cinema because you'd know that there's no threat of me yoinking that at you. Because you know when you've got pick a mix and that and you're like... Yeah, your mates are there. You want to be cool with them and share. But also at the same time, you're like, if you touch X, Y, and Z, our relationship's over. Yeah. Do you know what? I'm going to nut you. So if we went to the cinema, you wouldn't have to worry about that. Because I'm not going near them.
Well, I'm certainly not going to the cinema with just you anyway.
I was just saying, you have to worry about the fucking... The old down the bottom of the bag
and there's knob in it. Do you reckon anyone has ever actually done that?
Well, you know what? I hope so. I spoke to this bit because, for one, obviously... The popcorn, it's going to go, it's just a rough ride, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, getting it in there, how do you get it in there? Who's bringing scissors to the cinema?
Yeah.
I reckon.
Knives on dates now.
Yeah.
I guess. I've not thought about it much, but I reckon
dog bun would be way easier.
Yeah. It would, wouldn't it?
I reckon you get a set of your house keys. I've not thought about this before. Get a set of your house keys, you'll break the bottom of a hot dog. Then all you got to do is whip it open a bit, right? And then just zip it up Thumb there, in. Basically.
The pick and mix bag or the popcorn?
I'm saying popcorn.
Because the popcorn, they're quite deep.
Yeah.
Like, and do you know what?
When you're going halfway in there. She'll be full by the time she gets my knob.
Well, this is it. Because they pull you in, don't they? It's like, I'll have small popcorn, please. Well, you know, extra large is only like 4p more. I'll have extra large then. Yeah. And you always think, I'll smash this. And then literally, halfway through the film, you just think, fucking, I don't even put a dent in this. And if you imagine Corey in there for fucking an hour, do you know what I mean? Just dehydrating and getting full of salt. It'd be good, is it?
Well, you've got a piece of beef jerky in the bottom of the fucking popcorn.
Well, you've got a bad record with kernels, so you can end up with one of them down your... what do you call it? Your willy nostril.
Right. So, before we get the number one, Pip's got a strange approach to cinema, hasn't he?
We have fallouts at the cinema.
Because he goes for the same routine, even though he knows the answer.
Yeah, he's a fucking nut job. So, basically, Ricky, right, what happens is he'll have a waistcoat. Like, Pip will eat a lot at the cinema. So he's obviously works out quite a lot. But when he goes to the cinema...
He's in good shape, Pip, is he?
Yeah, man. Mm. He's in good shape. He is.
Go on, sorry.
Yeah. And he basically will have a fucking drink, a hot dog and ice cream and stuff like that.
I've seen the way that he constructs it to hold everything. Have you seen this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And with the ticket stub and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I was very impressed with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you another story later, but basically, he will lie and pretend that he doesn't know what he wants as his ice cream when he goes to get his ice cream because he needs them to put it in a specific order. But because he feels weird about telling them the order he wants his dollops of ice cream, he pretends that he's not sure what he wants because he doesn't want to go, I want...
Is this in a tub? In the tub?
In a tub, yeah.
Because... little birdie told me that Pip has actually got a black card for...
He has. I see it on the side.
Is it Ben and Jerry's?
Ben and Jerry's. I could have nicked it the other day.
Gets free unlimited Ben and Jerry's for the rest of his life.
Yeah. But how does that work? Because what...
Nando's black card or gold card they used to have. But they stopped doing that because people took the piss in there. They were taking all the families there.
Rinsing it. You've been on
receptions there.
Mate, I had... That was one of them.
Did you have one?
No, but... In my old office.
Been trying for 10 years.
In my old office in Basildon, I was walking back across Sainsbury's car park and bumped into Brian Bellow, the bloke that won Big Brother about 10 years ago.
Yeah. And do you want to do the presenter now, Brian?
That's Brian Dowling.
Oh, no, sorry.
Brian Bellow, he was the black guy. Yes.
He's quite eccentric.
Yeah. And I just went, all right. And he went, all right. And I went, do you live around here? He went, yeah, I live there. I said, that's my office there. He went, oh, can I come and have a look at it? And I was like, I've never met the geezer. And I was like, yeah, come meet everyone. So he come in. And I walked back in the office with the Big Brother. And everyone's like, fucking what's going on here? And I went,
with the guy from prison,
and I was like,
there's two.
I was like, so what are you up to? He said, I don't know. He said, I ain't got a lot going on. I said, all right. He said,
he's wandering around people's offices.
But he went, but I got me Nando's black card. And I went, what's say that no then? He went, I get free Nando's. And he went, do you want to, should we all go for a Nando's? And everyone was like, yeah, all right. But he didn't have it on him, and he had to ring his mum, and it was such a great call. He's going, like, Mum, no, it's Brian. Yeah. Where's my black card? I can't find it. Oh, I'm taking everyone for a Nando's. And yeah.
You're embarrassing me, Mum. Just get it here quickly.
Brilliant. Got to it for a Nando's.
What a lovely day that is. What a nice chat.
He was real gen. He was lovely.
That's just like a little surreal. Not only do you mean Brian, but you're getting fucking naughty Nando's.
Getting a free Nando's out of it.
Yeah, everyone's a winner.
Everyone's kind of thinking, what the fuck's going on? Is that why this is right off? Fucking we're going to a boozer after this.
Well, it's like, do you remember Nando's, the first Nando's reward cards they had? They used to stamp it like they had this metal stamp that punched a little chicken out of the card, but then they would go on fucking eBay.
Because they were coming up, and then the stamps would come up.
Yeah,
I mean, you see them all over the place now. All the fake stamps for all sorts of establishments. Yeah, apparently.
apparently, talk to me about that later.
Yeah, you got my number.
So, number one.
It's mate. To be fair, a lot of people agree. The sweet sour watermelon.
Ooh.
I had one of them yesterday. I only have one, but my mate bought. When you get little bags of like sweets, but like the cheap sort of looking sweets, and it's like three bags for a quid.
In the shopping, it's like fucking yellow rotunda thing.
And he had the watermelon ones. We was walking home from taking the dog for a walk, and he was like, "Do you want a watermelon?" I was like, "Fucking do I?"
Fucking watermelon.
Like,
oh yeah, do it around the corner, though, mate.
Yeah.
I'll do half.
see how it tickle my fancy. I'll do half.
Oh yeah, it's decent.
You like it?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. You know, I feel like it's a bit of an anticlimax now, but I just like it's fizzy, sour, sweet watermelon. There you go. That is my top five, and I'm pretty happy with that actually. I changed a few on the way down here, on the drive down here, but that's a solid one. About yourself, is there anything there you think I've missed out that you'd be like, you know what, Rick, I can't believe you didn't put that in there because I thought you looked like that kind of sweet guy.
See, I like a wine gum and I like a jelly baby, right?
But this is terrible.
I don't want Bassett's, I want shit cinema ones. Because the jelly babies are like they've died and gone all hard.
Yeah.
So they're like sort of like like little dead babies. And but they're like they've got all crusty and I think that makes it better.
Do you like that? Mm.
Yeah.
You like a little bit of filth though, don't you? It's like whenever we start talking about like, you know, what's the hottest models, you're always like, yeah, the ones who look the dirtiest. The ones who look like they've had a bit of a hard time.
You know, they're emotionally fucking unstable. That's what I go for. This is why I've got fucking a lot of problems.
I know what you're saying though. I think that pick and mix is the time for that. Right. Do you know what I mean?
So what's in your five, mate?
Oh, fucking hell. I did write them as it goes, you know. Hold on.
If you could erase a pick and mix from the cinema, a certain suite.
Oh, fuck, mate. I'll tell you what.
Again, what would you be like? You actually see it, you go, fuck
you.
Chocolate coated peanut.
Seriously? Mine's those shrimps.
Do you like an M&M peanut though?
Oh yeah.
Is it just because of the chocolate?
Yeah.
Because
as I said before, I like to make a sandwich out of the milk chocolate. No, sorry, the white chocolate disc with 100,000.
Yeah.
With the popcorn in between, so that's it's a sandwich. Clever. Sort of, mate, it's fucking banging.
Play food. I spoke about this a lot. When you just do something random with food,
but it just tastes fucking incredible.
So we
beer jellies. You know, the pint pots.
With the foam on the top, the white foam.
I can't get enough.
When
of
they come out when I was at school, like they come into circulation, and it was like, and it was one of them things. It
well, I'm just talking with MDMA and
was going. But people were like, yeah, you know, if you have like 20 of them, you'll be hammered.
That's brilliant. I love that.
So it was like, oh,
I used to eat it and pretend I was drinking it, but never got a life, never had mates.
Did anybody else used to do pretend shots with the lid of the Coca-Cola bottles or whatever?
Get always.
Yeah, like that. Exactly. Fucking hammered. Still do that now. I'm sorry, I was 25 doing that.
What else
yeah,
you got?
Pint pots was my number one.
Pint pots.
Yeah, I looked at that. Beer jellies, but they call them pint pots. Well, one website called them pint pots.
And it
so
was
I'm
a beery taste, which is weird for a kid, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I loved about it. But then when I started drinking beer, I was like, this is a little bit more less sweet than the sweets I've been eating.
I think when you start drinking beer, I don't think they're going to be popping up. You're like, oh, fucking hell, they're lying to me. I'm lying to these. I don't think that's the first thing that's going to pop into your head about the pint pots.
Did me. Strawberry strawberry bottles. I quite like those ones.
Like the milkshake ones.
Is this the ones where they're half and half white and one...
Yeah. And the jelly. Oh, yeah, mate, they're slamming. Right. Flying saucers.
Fuck off, Chris.
Oh, fucking... They're the only one.
Oh, grow up, man. Fucking flying saucers.
Mate.
That's fucking abysmal.
Yeah, I'm like, I used to like
that's the shit.
I can't believe we're discussing pick and mix and you used to piss in your pants.
You do, mate, you're, that's a cheap date if you're going for...
Oh,
you,
mate.
You hit the fudge, you're fucking... you're coining out. Mate, if you...
Speak to sorry,
mate.
Here, sorry.
If you hit the fudge, mate, you're coining out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Mate,
yeah,
have
yeah.
as many fucking flying
yeah,
sauces.
No, if they want fudge...
I'll have the ones in the back and all, babe.
If they want fudge, that's like your kidney, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, okay, it's either fudge or the film, babe.
Yeah.
I can't have fucking pie.
Mate.
I can't believe you've done. You've really upset me with that.
Fizzy cherry cola.
Yeah,
bottles.
That's decent.
Oh, hang on. Funny story flying saucers. If I was to smuggle drugs into the country.
Oh, genius.
I used to do this back at home. I mean, genius. Not smuggle drugs, but pretend I did.
Yeah.
It's the same thing about monopoly money, pretending to snip the rudder.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you open up the, you know, you crack them open, you grab the edge, pop them open, you take the fucking sherbet out, obviously put a load of gear in it, and fucking...
Bob's your uncle.
And then, but who's going through fucking customs with 1,500 bags of fucking...
Yeah, it's true.
But, you know what I mean, if I wanted to, you know, I needed a couple of... I had to talk about it, I don't know, smuggling drugs.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah,
there's a lot wrong with smuggling drugs, talking about.
Say, you know,
I think it's frowned upon.
It's a hit and miss with that. But yeah, if your fucking lad was going on holiday and he needed a few grams over there, you'd ping him.
Problem
in
solved. Yeah, definitely. Well, you've heard it. Hardcore listed drug tips.
But do you what did you actually like about him? Because you're eating paper.
You're full of cocaine is what you liked
about. The Mazadan ones.
Chris is what
But once the paper melted, it was just like really.
I just
average.
Like that little tangy hit. You can't have a go at me when you're talking about you like mocklet. There's no, you've got no grounds to criticise me when you like mocklet.
Yeah, but I think a shit chocolate raisin is still better than one of them.
Wrong. I mean, I'm not saying it's better worse.
I'm with Christian. I do like it. I enjoy them. It
gives you a little bit of a kick.
I just think they're a bit fun.
That's great.
There's nothing fun about them.
It's a little bit of fun. You need to light it up with your pick a mix, mate.
Is it rice paper?
Yeah.
So I just like. Do you remember them? The rice paper thing, and it looked like LSD. Well, not the. Well, probably was LSD when was that like? And you just. The cake paper stuff.
Yes.
I used to buy that from
you. Like, you used to get sheets, didn't you?
Yeah. And I used to pretend it was LSD when I was a kid. Well, not when I was a kid, but just...
And someone mentioned the other day, can you remember them, like, little chewing gum strips that you used to put on your tongue and they just melted the second you put them...
They were fucking spicy. They were really hard, they were.
Yeah. They disappeared, didn't they?
Because they get... That was the idea. You get fucked up and it gets caught in your teeth, you get your blue teeth. You get all, like... It's like double-sided sticky tape.
Yeah.
Mouth.
Is that why Stu's pulling a face for everyone listening? You can't get that now, though, right?
No, there's I don't
health
know,
scare.
There's obviously something they wanted to take. They pulled them off the shelves, didn't they? Because they were. I don't know.
They seem weird.
Shit.
Yeah.
There
was either that, there was a self-scare, or there were just wanks.
Well, do you remember when Nerds, talking about Pivmix, remember Nerds?
And then Dweebs.
Dweebs and Nerds, and they had to recall some of them because there was broken glass in it. Do you remember?
No.
That's just Wolverhampton
one. Yeah, no, just sprinkling it in there. No, they all got pulled for a bit because there was a like factory plant fuck up.
What, as in using it as a filler or somebody had literally dropped glass
in
there?
I think just finding a bit like glass. Just
the glass.
Yeah, someone had just accidentally dropped a load of glass in it and there's loads of complaints. Yeah, so. They were measuring out the sugar and they just threw the glass in with it, basically.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Didn't have time to clear it up. No, just leave it in there. We'll box it all up.
Until someone notices.
Yeah, exactly. I've got to shoot it out. I've got to go to a water park and put razor blades in the seals now.
Was that a thing that happened?
No, fuck off.
No.
I liked an urban legend like that.
It's good.
Because that always went through me when I was at Waterville. Anything to do with blades or... in the seams of the joints.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine that.
Oh, mate. No. You know, that should have been in Saw.
That would,
put that in.
And I remember, do you remember Dirty Needles in cinema seats?
No.
Remember this? This is one that I used to, an urban legend used to go around the schools. Yeah, people used to leave, apparently, well, obviously it was an urban legend, but yeah, needles in cinema seats.
Fucking hell.
User needles.
Oh, that's weirding me out now. Yeah, oh God. Yeah, we didn't have that. That didn't reach the South. Did you ever hear that one?
Nah, but if someone left a needle and sat on it and got high, I think it might take the edge off of them flying saucer.
Put you down.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought about the drugs in it. I think it was the infection of it.
Yeah. Shoes kind of missed the point of it. Yeah. I'm not going to roll with you.
The chances are hitting a vein at the exact point. It's just straight in your arse.
This movie's wicked. Sleepless in Seattle. You're like, whoa!
Right. So, any other honourable mentions for Pick-A-Mix you want to throw in there, Rick?
I do like a rainbow drop.
Oh,
but they're separate from the Pick and Mix. They're standalone. They've got weight to them because they can have their own stand.
I'll tell you what, Rick, if you wake up in the night and you need that sugar fix, have them
rainbow drops. Yeah.
Because I can't give it to my kids. I gave it to my kids when they were really young, and it was like you just wind them up and then just let them go, and they went nuts.
Off rainbow drops.
Like, the colour and whatever's in it just sent them.
I thought it was the colour of the face.
They used to go purple. It's like they're choking, mate. They're choking.
Like violet out of fucking Charlie the Chocolate Factory. Fucking blowing up right rear, guys. We've got another fucking 12 hours in A&E.
Oh, dear. That was a dream, wasn't it? The Charlie Chocolate Factory. The thought of going into that.
Oh, can you? Oh, that's
I liked. You know, I mean, they were licking the walls.
Yeah.
The fucking paper, the wallpaper.
Yeah.
I just loved, and they're fucking having it on the rolls.
Yeah.
Everything, but the original.
Cream. Yeah.
The Johnny Depp one was cool. I liked it. Well, I just like Johnny Depp in general. But
Gene Wilder was the bot don. It was really good, man. That whole scene's fucking dope.
Charlie Bucky was the oh man, he's just that whole rags to riches thing, isn't it? But it's that whole. Fuck, man, that's a rad film, isn't it?
It was. We did that. That was in our top five children's movies.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And psychedelic as fuck when they get on that fucking train.
And then the guy with the spectacle. Oh, yeah.
Oh, what was his name?
Because he was like the Russian, the spy kind.
Yeah,
guy,
no, Mister like Grinthorpe or something like that.
Oh,
isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And he's the guy that at the end comes good, isn't it? When he's the one that gives the everlasting gobstopper. Yeah. He's trying to sell it to him, and buy it off him, and that's right.
Yeah.
And he didn't in the end because he wanted to try and see if he was a good lad.
He's a fucking. He was a good lad.
He was a fucking very good lad. I got candy off him. Yeah.
What a film.
Good film.
So what's happening, then, Rick? As we bring this to a close, what are you up to nowadays?
So I've actually started. I've started getting into the acting game now. So I've just done a film. We just had the premiere for the film, and it's called Intruder. It's kind of the direction I want to be going. So I was with Never Small Agency, and I got scouted at the start of the year to go with the Supermodel Management now, and they want to push me more towards TV stuff and more films, more acting, and because I'm quite like an energetic guy. And after doing the modelling for 8-9 years, I just think it's time to move on. And obviously, you know, I do my I design clothes as well. I've been designing my gym wear for the last year, and we're bringing that lifestyle range, which is very similar. You know, it's a very Dickies Carhartt kind of vibe, very workwear.
Yeah,
we're taking little nods towards my mechanic background, so we're doing that kind of nice skatey kind of. It's very that, you know, that French workman jacket. It's that very French workman kind of all nice blues. Yep. And it lasts forever. It's all made in England as well. From the design process to the finished article, everything's made in England.
And it's long-lasting sort of stuff.
And it looks better when, you know, you've got a little hole in here, a little scuff near here. And it's the same with denim. So, you know, I just wear raw denim. And you fade it yourself. You know, you hardly wash it kind of thing. So it's that, basically what it was, I got fed up of, you know, going to the gym and seeing guys, you know, obviously you do what you need to do in the gym. You can wear what you wear. But I just got a little bit bored of everyone looking like fucking Power Rangers in the gym, all these different colours and tights and that. I go, fuck this, man. I want to bring it back old school. That Steve McQueen, Rocky Balboa, you know, that kind of like greys, neutral colours that go with it. You know, that nice big hoodies, the towel underneath the hoodie, you know, when you're boxing to stop the sweat. I thought, fuck it, I'm going to bring out a boxing range like this. You know, I did a little bit of boxing and I've started, I've got a fight at the end of the year actually.
Oh, really?
And so it kind of just fitted in. I put it on. This is when I just came out of, I was sober at this point, and I was like, you know what, I'm getting back fit. I'm like, there's not really anything cool to wear. That's really the last thing that should have been on my mind, but I was like, fuck it, if I'm going to be training, if I'm going to be in the gym a lot, I want to wear some fucking cool clothes. Mm. And we released this range, and it just went really well. You know, a lot of dads and lads were, you know, they're like, you know what, they thought the same as me.
That's great.
And, you know, it's all these really cool jerseys, hoodies, nice shorts, and I designed the whole it's about an 8-piece range, and it just flew off the, it's just online at the moment.
What's the web address?
It's Going Goods, and it's the IH gym. There's a few videos in there, so you can see it in action, and we're filming the lifestyle. So the lifestyle range is called the Full English, obviously, because it's all made in England. So that's getting filmed in 2 weeks' time with a model called Jimmy Q, who's a professional skateboarder and a tattoo artist. He's from LA. He's coming over from LA. So he's going to be, because he's a professional skater, he's going to look great. You know, nice little turn up on the trousers. Jimmy Q.
Yeah.
You know Jimmy Q.
Yeah.
Cool guy. Fully tattooed, like all over, similar to some of his tattoos.
He was in the States of Emotion video.
Really?
Yeah.
So he'll be in the campaign with us. So he's a little bit acting in there for him and myself. He's just a cool guy. So he'll be doing a bit of tattooing in there too. But I'm just focusing on a little bit of acting, but I'm focusing a lot on the fashion design. I really, really enjoy that. That's where I can. That's another thing where I can switch off. I put a bit of music on. I listen to quite metalcore, quite heavy rock, and that can't, weirdly enough, it calms me down. It focuses me.
What sort of stuff?
So I'm listening to a lot of emo stuff from back in the day. I get quite, you know, when you'll hear a song on the radio and go, fucking, I remember that, and then it just sparks off. Jesus, from like 2005.
Yeah.
So a lot of Funeral for a Friend at the moment.
Nice.
And like Bullet for My Valentine, and you know, you got like your mainstream ones, like, you know, You Bring Me the Rise and stuff. But you know, Taking Back Sunday, a lot of emo stuff. I love it. I love all that. I'm just really engrossed in all that, because stuff, I used to, you know, go to gigs all the time with my skinny jeans and my purple hair drooped across my thing.
We used to go to
and my shirts and my tie and my waistcoat. I loved it. And my
brilliant.
And my studded belt pink.
We used to go, I was going to ask you this, because you're from Walltown. Me and Pip used to go to, obviously, well, he was at Wolverhampton Uni, right? And we'd come and terrorise your place. But one of the things I always remember is there was a place that did like a roast dinner in a bun. So you get wankered. And it was the first place that did like roast pork. Yeah.
Was it called Pig Joint?
It might have been.
Just what we used was playing at the Civic, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Because Pip always liked playing. I remember he played Slade Room, I think, a good few years ago.
Yeah,
actually, about four years ago, maybe, for just a little gig he did on one-off gig there. But yeah, he's probably the Pig Joint, because Wolves is not.
Pig Joint's got to be.
Yeah.
I fucking used to love that place.
Fuck, I'm hungry now.
Every night. Every time we get on a beer.
I'm on a diet, innit? So I'm fucking miserable.
But do you know what, Ricky? I forgot. I picked up a bunch of these for the podcast for us to eat during. But I mean, you're welcome to take these home.
No, I can't. Man, I would love to. I will have a drumstick though.
Let's do it.
Why wouldn't you tell me this at the start?
Just got carried away, mate. Just got carried away.
got lost in your eyes.
Oh, they've got dib dabs in here. Oh, mate. Do you remember the double dip? Sorry.
But yeah, so that's, you know, as I said, thank you. That's a bit urgent, wasn't it? Fucking hell.
So, and let's talk about the boxing as well then. So, how often you train him?
So, I'm training the Total Boxer, which is in North London. And it's kind of, there's a couple of boxing coaches there just taking me under their wing a little bit. And they know my past with my addictions and stuff. And I think I just saw a little bit in me where, you know, I'm not necessarily fucking good at boxing. My fitness has bounced back so quick. I've got good genes, you know what I mean? If I look after myself a little bit, my health comes back, you know, I can bounce back quite, you know, I'm like a cat, you know, I bounce back quite good, you know, look after me a little bit, I'm all right. And my health's never, you know, I used to be a really good footballer, so my health's always been there. I've always been in relatively okay shape. And, you know, and I've just got a good heart and, you know, that, when I like someone, I just want to go into it. I think they just saw a little something in me. They go, you know what, fuck it, we'll take a little bit of a chance on you. Not necessarily for, you know, I'm all right at boxing, but I think they just, and I said to them, go, look, because of my clothing, and, you know, I want to eventually just have a little bit of a fisticuff or something, have a little fucking roll around with somebody on the pebbles, you know what I mean? And they go, you know what, fuck it, let's fucking train you up, get your fight ready. Get your fucking sort your little fight out. So what we're going to do, and hopefully what we're going to do, so my training start, I'll go back there tomorrow. So I started last week. Got about 3 months, still Christmas, a few days before Christmas, so I'm going to try and get fighting. What we're going to do, we're going to get, there's another guy, who's a friend of mine called Dave Rudd. And he's an all right boxer. And he's going to get trained up by his coach. He's got a little coach. We're going to do a little event wearing all my boxing gear for the Indigo and Goods RH gym stuff. Just fucking kick the shit out of each other, basically. You know, it's just little tear up, get a few people to come in, have a little stand with the Indigo and Goods selling there, and just get a little drink sponsor going and just have a, you know what I mean, just watching a few people fucking kick the shit out.
Have a go.
Just have a little fucking tear up. And I, you know what, hopefully I'll win because it's my fucking brand, you know what I mean? I'm really going to go into it. But I said to my guy, you know what, I'm not scared to take a couple of hits to the face, you know what I mean? I want to go in there. I want to really fucking hurt someone. And then obviously have a shake and some fish and chips afterwards. But this is what we're going to do. So we're going to try me up, get me fight ready and get the little event sorted out and just, have a tear up, man. It'd be good fun. And get everybody there. And we're going to be, you know, hopefully it all comes off well and we can film the campaign for the, we'll be wearing the new gym gear for the next season. So obviously you're about 6 months to a year in front of what's in trend, should we say, obviously. I don't follow trends in the gym gear, but you're always working a little bit ahead. So we'd use the new stuff to film the boxing, you know what I mean? And we can use that campaign video as the new campaign video. You know?
So your campaign video might be you getting your face flattened, basically.
Well, I can't let that happen. It would look good for the brand, wouldn't it?
That'd be amazing.
Mate, I'll have to, you know, I'm going to try. No, I'll try really hard, you know. My diet will be on point and... Yeah, it's just fun and stuff like that gives me structure and it keeps, it's stuff like that keeps me sober. And talking to you guys about my addictions keeps me sober because it's the boxing will act as a meeting for me.
What have I said to you?
That's my job. That'll be a job for you that hour.
How many times have I said to you the one time I'm more focused than anything is when I'm sparring.
When you're dodging punches.
Yeah, when I'm dodging punches.
Stu had a fight lined up, didn't he?
Yeah.
But the other guy, what happened? He had a didn't seizure pounce, or yeah. something. He had a heart failure. Lined it up with someone really out of shape. You're so brave, Stu. He went into hospital and picked someone out of a ward.
But no, I do. But I do find that like that's the only time I'm totally focused and there's no distraction.
Yeah.
Like, because if you do get distracted with anything else, you're going to get fucking clumped.
I'll tell you what, there's nothing better for dealing with like with your emotions as well than beating the shit out of a pad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like doing that sort of work, it does focus you, but it helps you get things out. You feel a lot better afterwards. And I think, you know, men have got, you know, we've come through and what our purpose has been for many, many tens of thousands of years, there is a portion of us that is quite a large degree of aggression. And
in
society now, we've got to a point where we don't all have to be on a battlefield swinging an axe at each other, but that is still in us a little bit. So it's a good place to sort of get that out.
I think you're completely right there. And sorry, I'm smacking my mouth here with the drumstick.
The drumstick.
And you know, I think it just kind of gives you that... it's a release, isn't it? And you don't take that aggression out into your everyday life. Oh. So, you know, you're working a 9-to-5 job, you're in an office, and you fucking, something's happened, and you get a bad phone call, and you fucking lose your shit. I think stuff like that, you know, you've got your box on in the evening, or the night before, you've had a bit of a fucking tear up, and you got it out of your system. I think it's getting a lot of it out of your system, and it's a good, healthy way to do it. Mm. Whereas before, I'll get the aggression by going down the boozer, doing fucking 10 points, and a fucking, you know, a few bags of nose fucking can. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's, so I've found, it's just about learning, about finding out what's right for my body, what's right for my mind, and boxing is ticking them boxes right now.
Rick, it's really good to hear. It's all really positive, mate. And
it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Mate, I've had a great time. Yeah. I'm just ashamed it's taken so long to, you know, have that little minor inconvenience of going to rehab.
Selfish.
For the second time.
Yeah.
It's been a blast. And thanks ever so much for making the effort to come here as well.
Thank you for listening to me.
Good luck with the boxing,
absolutely,
mate, and the brand as well. I'm sure you don't need that. It seems like it's all going the right way, man. So, yeah, Ricky, thank you.
Thanks a lot, man.
Cheers, thank you.
There you have it. Have you been listening to this and walking to your local supermarket to buy some sweeties? Have we made you thirsty for a fruit salad?
Or a strawberry bonbon? Or a lemon sherbet?
Ricky, thank you very much for that, mate.
Yes, thank you for everything, Dan.
And making everyone diabetic now for listening to this episode.
Absolutely. And we will see you next week.
Peace!
Bye! It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.